Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our text for this morning is found recorded in the book of Matthew. It's the 20th chapter, beginning with the 29th verse. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed them. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy upon us." Jesus stopped and called to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. Dear friends and hearers, this particular week, the theme has to do with the manifestation of how Christ manifests himself in various ways. One of the things that we have talked about so much in Epiphany is that how Jesus is a God and how he's man. And maybe we need to, perhaps, at least from my viewpoint, deal with that in a more practical way, how we ourselves see him as God and man. It's very easy to see Jesus as God. You can say he is God, he does all kinds of miracles because he is God. Because he has the power, because he has the might, because he was sent, because of the incarnation, the virgin birth. We can go through all of that. But so often we don't think of Christ as man, that he identifies with us and our own sorrows. And as he saw these people blind, he understood what that was all about. A lot of times, you and I want, as these blind men did, to call upon God for a special petition, a special favor. But unlike our text, we sometimes will call upon God and say, "I don't think he's going to do that. Lord, I'll lay this before you, but if you're like you've been before, you're not going to do it." And think of the odds here. What's going on in that text? Think of the odds. Christ and a multitude coming by. These two blind men begging for their sustenance, just there. They have one chance in a million to get his attention, much less have him respond. One chance in a million. But they still say somehow, "Let's cry out to the Lord. Let's say, Lord, help us. Let's acknowledge him as the one who can help us and give it a shot." What would you have done if you cried to the Lord and someone says, "Hey, forget it, you know, be quiet"? Suppose you're praying and some angel says, "Your prayer has just been canceled. The lines are busy. Like AT&T, we just broke up." Or if some other angel came and said to you, "That's a beautiful prayer, but it's a waste of time. We know about you. You're a Finkel. Your sins can't be forgiven. I don't know why you'd even ask God for that one." Or if whatever it is, the discouragement, even from your own beloved people, when you are suffering, you say, "The Lord will help us through," and they said, "You're kidding." They say to you, "You got yourself in this mess, not the Lord, but you get yourself out of it. Don't blame the Lord for this mess. You did it. You rescue yourself. Be your own savior. Don't call on God." One chance in a million. But like the blind men, they say, "Okay, we'll take that shot. What do we got to lose? We're blind already. We're down the tube already." But yet they knew something more than that. They knew Jesus Christ could do something. They weren't calling to every man that went by. They identified him. "Son of David." They didn't call everybody Son of David. They knew something about this Jesus Christ. Then they said, "Lord, help us." And then the unexpected thing happened. Christ stops. And while people are saying, hey, fellas, mind your business. This is a big man, big rabbi. He's got things to do. Blind men, get your arms. Stay out of the way. We got big things to do. Haven't got time for beggars and blind folks. Shut up. And Christ stops. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for you? Says Jesus to the people. The one shot in the million. The one shot that wasn't supposed to work. What do you want me to do for you? That's a beautiful question. I can take 2 years answering that one and never finish. But to have God come and say, what do you want me to do? Open himself up to me and to you and to those blind men, say, my grace is available to you. The whole show stops because I'm concerned about you. I heard your prayer. Your one shot to me in works. What do you want me to do? Let your mind wander just for a few minutes. They could have asked for dumb things. Well, Lord, besides getting my sight back, I want to go down to, not to Jericho, I want to go up to Galilee and I want to see some sights. I've never been to Greece either. I heard about Egypt. I'd like to have a free trip there too. And while you're at it, heard you can really do some fancy miracles for some of my relatives. Just, you know, throw in a whole bunch. They could have listed a whole batch of things. Like on a commercial, Ed McMahon says, if you were to win $2 million, what would you do with it? I'd like him to give it to me first, then ask. But here's Christ saying, what would you want me to do? That is so beautiful to me. God himself stops to pay attention to the ones who trust him, the ones who call out to him. He stops. Nothing too busy, not too in a tizzy, even has to rebuke those who said to the blind men, shut up. Say, oh, nope, nope, nope. What do you want me to do for you? And they stayed to the bottom line. The one thing they wanted was to receive their sight. And they said so. Lord, we want our sight. What happens after that? Jesus had compassion, this text says, on them and then touched their eyes, and immediately they were healed. Just like that. The one shot in a million. The whole show stops, and what do you want me to do for you? Receive your sight, they got it. You want to talk about Jesus Christ being manifested. You want to talk about Jesus Christ showing himself. You want to talk about Jesus Christ explaining himself, that's it. The loving God of creation, the God incarnate, who's not too busy for sinful men, who's not too busy for our concerns, although he has to go to a cross. No one's asking, what do you want, Jesus? You don't hear that in the Bible. He came to be the suffering servant. He has time for us. He has time for us. He has concern for us. Whatever your need may be, whatever your care may be, Jesus our Lord is concerned about those needs and will take care of those needs and will listen to your cares. He will stop. Not that he's ever too busy. He will stop for you, for me, for anybody who calls upon him in faith. No, he's not going to stop for those who don't believe in him and just say, Jesus, Jesus, a word, but don't know what the word entails. You have that example, Elijah and the priest of Baal. But he comes, he stops, he's concerned. He's concerned about where you are right now. Maybe we as faculty and students have just gotten our act together to get back to studying. And now before we get rolling good, we're getting too close to the end of the quarter again. And the whole tempo has to move up and you say, oh my goodness, we're going to go to the purgatory in a few weeks. Exams. After we just got through taking some, they're going to come again. Or their concerns the student body and the faculty may have about incidents that happen on our campus that are unexplainable, we don't understand them. Then go to God and ask him for the answers. I'm not being facetious. Our particular task as Christians is to be obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ. And when there is a question, when there is a disturbance, go to him and let him direct us to that human element, a human person who may, or if they can, give us answers. Our Lord comforted these blind men. He comforts us too. There's nothing that we have experienced or shall experience that God cannot take care of. Not a thing. Not one thing. As various thoughts may run through a man of our personal and impersonal things that just float around, we wonder, what's going on? We know a lot is, we don't know all of the details. Do we need to? The blind man only knew one thing. They knew one thing. The Son of David, Jesus Christ, was coming. They said, here's our chance to plug into him. That's all they knew. They didn't know how tall he was. Didn't know whether he had a beard or not. Didn't know whether he had long robe, short robe, mini robe, whatever. They knew he was coming, and here's the chance to take advantage of that faith. We know as students and as Christians that God is always coming. He's always here. He indwells in us. And we can take advantage of that. Go to him instead of go to ourselves. Trust in him and not trust in ourselves. And let it be known that God never lets things get botched up. The disciples thought it was a mistake for these guys to ask Jesus to stop in from his busy schedule to heal them. Jesus didn't think that. We sometimes may think or tell others it's a mistake to bring this to God. No, no, it isn't. Is there any business God cannot handle? To use my favorite passage, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for him? But when God acts, when he does act, do we accept the action? Do we accept it as the act of God when he does do what he has to do? When he healed those blind men, did anyone go and say, do you really see me? Are you really healed? You were blind before. You faked it for all these years. When he does act, that is final. He does his thing. He doesn't have to do anything. Do we trust him enough to do what he wants to have done and not what we want to have done? It doesn't. The two don't always agree. If I had my way, God would be my servant, not my God. I'd be a magician saying, now, God, I want you to zap this one, zap that one. That's my human nature. My faith says, no, don't do that. It also reminds me I can't do that. But God knows what he's doing. Trust him. Love him. Commit yourself or recommit yourself to him. And even in a world that seems like you're walking in the shadows, and when you seem like in darkness yourself, Jesus Christ is a light. He brings us out of that his own way. And he brings us out of it against the odds. Against the odds. May it please Almighty God then that by his grace, we can trust in our Lord. We can call on our Lord, but not question our Lord. And know that he still brings to us that same question, what do you want me to do for you? And answer appropriately, as they said, to receive their sight, and we should say to get more spiritual sight. May God grant that we will have our eyes focused on our Lord and not ourselves, now and forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.